Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, and welcome to the 72nd episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, and I'm joined today by a very special temporary guest host joining us for the first time, fresh off of a top cut at the Pokemon World Championships, is fellow Washingtonian Calvin Connor. Cal, how you doing today?
Yeah, what's up? My name's Calvin. I'm also from Washington, so like me and Kev have been hanging out a lot lately at the tabletop, so it's a long time coming for the be on the podcast.
Oh, it is for sure. You're one of the people who it's like I wanted to have you on, but it's like, bro, I need that top cut. I need something. Give it to me.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited that you got it at Worlds. Like, I was rooting, bro. Bring that thing back to the PNW, and it was close, but we'll talk about that Worlds run.
Yeah.
So because it is the first time Cal is on, we're going to get into those rapid strike questions. It's been a while since we had those. Then I want to talk to Calvin a little bit about his history as a player, because we'll get to that. But it feels like you're one of those people that I think a lot of people assume was a good player who came out of nowhere. And that's not exactly what happened here. So we're going to talk about your history as a player and kind of all the accomplishments you have from the past. And then we're going to talk about that amazing Worlds run that I also don't think a lot of listeners are aware of how ridiculous it was. So
yeah,
I'm going to let them figure that one out when we get there. But first, the rapid strike questions. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. No explanations.
Okay.
Are you ready? All right, question number one, winter or summer?
Winter.
What's your favorite snack?
Cheetos.
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Lugia.
Favorite deck you've ever played?
TDK.
Would you rather be late or be early?
Late.
What's your favorite emoji to use?
I like the tongue one, where it's like with the eye down.
That's a good one. How do you like your steak cooked?
Okay, I like medium well.
Okay. Toppings on your perfect pizza?
I like the hot sauce instead of the, like, the, what do you call it? The marinara. I like hot sauce on instead.
We're going to get back to that one later. What color sleeves do you use?
Dragon Shield.
What color?
I like blue, sometimes purple.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs for sure.
Juniper, sycamore, oak, rowan, or magnolia?
Juniper.
And that is time. So we got through 11 questions. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So first question I want to get a little bit more on. Favorite Pokemon's Lugia. Favorite deck is TDK.
Yeah.
Which came first?
Lugia.
Okay. So is that a correlation between like I got to play my favorite Pokemon or?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
I'm definitely playing Lugia V-Star when it comes out. Hopefully it's good, though.
Wait, do we have a Lugia V-Star?
I think so, because I think it's like the cover of the, maybe not the next set, but the next set.
Oh, I did not know that. That's actually really exciting. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I brought Gyarados to Vancouver because it was like, yo, I get to play my favorite Pokemon for once.
Yeah.
Didn't work, but it's very fun to play your favorite.
I think it got top four of that event, right?
It did, yes. Drew's list was a little more well-tested than mine. Mine was a last-second, hey, let's just play Gyarados for the Gyarados of it. Terrible
idea. Get angry.
Yeah. <It's> so good. Actually, not so good. Well, the Jolteon was crap. But anyway, that's not the point of this. Hot sauce on your pizza instead of marinara sauce. I need to know a little bit about that one.
I like changing it to the hot sauce, and I like putting bacon on it. I don't know why. I tried it once, and I was like, this is pretty good, and then I've just been rolling with it since.
Yo, let's go. That's actually really sick. Like, are you like a spicy food person in general?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. So not like most of, because I don't know, did you grow up here in the PNW?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Arizona, where everything's spicier than it is up here, and so it's nice to meet someone else who is like, gonna yeah. order the
spicy food's my thing. I was like always eating the hot Cheetos as a kid and like the like Takis and spicy foods.
Nice.
Used to be my jam.
When you said favorite snack is Cheetos, does that include hot Cheetos?
Yeah.
Right on.
I like the hot fries. Those are my favorite ones for some reason. But hot Cheetos are pretty good too.
I don't know if the hot fries, are they actually different? Like, they're very good, but are they?
I feel like they're just the texture is different, I feel like, mostly. Like, the Cheetos are, like, rugged and, like, crunchy, and the other ones are, like, kind of smooth. That's the main difference to me.
That sounds about right. It's like, I get you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're a Pokemon podcast, so let's get to the Pokemon stuff. So, like I said at the beginning, I think a lot of people kind of look at you as someone who was like, yo, he's probably a good player before. And then suddenly the online scene came and you're killing it. And then, you know, you're day twoing a handful of regionals this year or like doing incredibly well. Shout out to the 5-0s with Reggie into bad stuff. And then, you know, obviously top cut at Worlds with our new asymmetrical cut. But that's not your history as a player. So when did you start playing and what are some of your like milestone accomplishments along the way there?
Okay, my first official season was, like, 2011, and then 2012 was, like, my, like, okay, I'm trying for an invite this season. I ended up getting it. I think I played Darkrai Mewtwo. I was not very good, and I almost, like, contemplated quitting. Like, I went to Worlds, I got the invite, and I just remember I got crushed. I was like, okay, maybe this isn't for me. Like, I get up to Worlds, and, like, the competition level was just, like, so much higher that I was like I did good at a few regionals and stuff, but like once I got to Worlds, I was like, okay, there's another level to this. Like these kids are like crushing me right now. Like I started off 0-4 or something at my first Worlds, and I was like, okay, yeah, there's definitely like a different level to this, and I need to get better. And then I like moved up to the next division where it was like seniors, but like my juniors like year was like I played kind of, but not like a lot. Mm-hmm. And then the seniors year, I was like, I need to start grind testing and like becoming better.
Yeah. So why did you play Pokemon? Like what made you join the trading card game?
I started because I used to play this game called Gale of Darkness. I don't know if you've heard of it. It was like Gale of Darkness and it was like Shadow Lugia. And like, I loved that game. It was like my favorite game. I played Colosseum and it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then like randomly I was at the mall and I don't know if you know where South Center is in Washington.
Yep.
I was at South Center Mall and I like walked by Uncle's Games and there was like a league going on and I walked in because I was like looking for some cards that I collected, just like the cards I didn't play at all. Makes I never sense. Even thought of like playing. And then like they were having a league and I just like got a bunch of cards and then I think his name was Jim. I don't know if you know him.
I don't think I do.
And he was like, oh, you should come to League. And I was like, okay. And then I came to League and I picked up a bunch of cards and then I started playing.
That's so easy. Just someone's like, hey, you should come play the game. And you're like, all right, sure.
Yeah, I got like a lot of the like, you know, like the old school promos that they used to give. Like they gave me a bunch of them when I came in the door and I was like, ooh, free cards. I'm going to come to this.
Bro, that is the best motivator though, because there's so many of those. Actually, the promos were so interesting, right? Like I assume you still have all those old promos and some of them are like the DCE and the parallel city that are like,
yeah,
they gave these out for free and some of them are completely worthless trash.
Yeah, it was, I think it was the DCEs. I was like, I need to get more of these. I need to start going to League.
So that's awesome. So how did your first year of seniors where you like really started try hard and go?
I had a few good regional runs and then nationals I ended up winning.
Let's go. National champion. And like
the run I played Lugia, so I was like very hyped to do that. And like it was like the TDK like Lugia like take double prize deck where you're just like spamming it. And I ended up winning and then I was like, oh, okay, maybe we'll try to do this. And then when I got to Worlds again, I played the same deck and I got crushed. I was like, I cannot switch decks. I'm playing the same deck, same 60. Like, I won that. I'm running it back. And then, like, I just kept hitting, like, Darkrai Enhanced Hammer decks and getting, like, spammed with it. And I was like, I'm not having fun here. I think I started off 0-3.
So I'm not familiar with the meta. That's, like, way before I started to play. Was it like the new set dropped and suddenly TDK was no longer a viable play, or did you just hit like everyone hated your deck?
Okay. Like TDK was very good, but then Darkrai became a thing. I think Jason Klesenski did good with it. And then like everyone was just like four hammers, Darkrai, stabilize, and then just spamming it, and it was just rough.
Now that's one of those cool decks that, like, as a quick aside, Junk Hunt plus an aggro Pokemon is such a cool combination.
Yes, four hammers and then junk hunting for the hammer bag was very rough.
Right?
It was not fun.
And then if you somehow aren't fast, or if you somehow like aren't fast enough to set up, the Darkrai is doing a lot of damage.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Granted, I guess your deck TDK was fast, right? Like,
yeah, you take Plazas really quickly, but like once they start, there was no recovery for the energy. So like once they were just gone, they were gone. And then like N was in format, so they would just be like N double enhance hammer, junk hunt double enhance hammer, and then you're just sitting there with like a two card hand, and you're just like, cool, you got me.
That sounds okay. So I understand why you didn't have the best Worlds experience there. How did that make you feel? Like, how did the next season, were you just like, I really want to do this? Were you like, oh, maybe this isn't for me?
After I won Nats, I was very hyped for Pokemon, and I was like, I'm going to like try hard every event, because like the feeling of winning is very like I don't know, because like I had never won anything before that, so like all my like regionals were like top fours ish and around that range. So then I was like, I'm going to try hard because I need to win again.
Yeah, only top four at a regional. That's terrible. I also am not a huge fan of those.
Yeah, it was like top four, top
for all the
eight,
humble 16. Brags.
It was like stuff like that, and it's like, I don't know, like after I won Nats, like it was kind of the story of my career, is like top eighting and then losing like top four and losing, and then it's just rough because like once you win, it's like you're so close, but like you feel like you need to get right back there.
So how did that next season go?
I think I got top 16 at Nats. I did well at a few regional, and I got top 8 at Worlds, I believe.
I believe top 8 at Worlds.
Yeah. I know I top 8 at top 4 and then top 8 at my last one. But the first Worlds, I did very bad with TDK. I know that. Out of my 4.
So you absolutely tore through seniors. Like, winning Nats,
yeah.
Top cutting Worlds. Like, that's in addition to all the other stuff that you're like acting like is no accomplishment, which is top cutting various regionals.
Okay, but regionals are different for seniors. It's like, I don't know, there was like maybe 60, 80, like around that range. For masters, it's like 1,000. So it's like different.
I mean, you can only beat the people in front of you, right?
Yeah.
So there's still something there.
Mm-hmm.
When was your first master season?
This was my first master season.
I want everyone
like, to... I went to a few cups here and there, but like I did not play.
I want everyone to kind of get that. How many years did you take off then?
I quit in 2016 and I started playing again fully, I would say like during COVID. So like, but like, I don't know. I wouldn't count that as a season because like I didn't like play, but like the COVID season was like 2020, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I stopped playing in 2016. So from 2016 to 2021 was my first event back.
So that's a big deal. That's a big, like, you know, you were incredibly good. Someone who was very clearly going to tear up masters, and you stopped playing, give us all a shot, and then came back and tore up masters.
Yeah. I had a good first season. I can't complain.
What were some of your accomplishments this season beyond the top cut of Worlds?
I got top 32 at Indy, top 16 at Salt Lake. I got top 64 at Nats, and then top 32 at Vancouver.
So absolutely killed it. Let's go ahead and jump towards the Worlds run then, because clearly the season before was amazing. That is a lot of very good finishes.
Yeah.
Going into the World Championship, what was your preparation like? Like, what kind of decks were you going between? How much were you actually testing, that kind of stuff?
I think I tested probably for at least 8 hours almost every day for like a week before Worlds. A week-ish, probably like 10 days-ish around that range. I was on 2 decks, and I knew the list going into it, what like they were going to be. I was like, I'm either going to play Palkia to this event, or I'm going to play Mew. And, like, I'm not going to change my mind on anything. I'm either just going to boot up one of these decks and see where it goes.
So is this strategy as simple as I'm going to play clearly one of the two best decks? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're just like, I'm not going to, you know, make it worse for myself and play something fringe or play something counter meta. I'm just going to play the best deck and make them beat me.
Yeah, I'm just going to play the best deck, know how to play the best deck, just like grind the mirrors, grind the like specific matchups like over and over again to like where you know what to do like almost every time.
So one of the reasons I played Radiant Charizard at Worlds instead of Palkia is I sat down with Palkia. I played a lot of Palkia because I had to test the Radiant Charizard matchup, blah, 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 right? But I was like, I'm not going to win this mirror match against other top players. Mm-hmm. How did you come to that conclusion of, I know this mirror match well enough that no matter who is sitting across from me, I think I can take it?
I think you just need to, design your list to have like extra outs against the mirror. And like Tooljammer, I think, is very good. Leon is very good. We opted to not play four battle pass because a lot of the times we were losing to just like getting rock sand into battle passes and just nothingness. So we wanted to have extra countermeasures to try to like come back in those situations and scenarios. Mm-hmm. And Rod was very good. Jammer was very good. Leon was very good. Palpad was good. And surprisingly, probably the best card in the deck for me, like throughout the event, was Marnie.
Really? What made Marnie, and we'll get into the specifics of most of the rounds and stuff, but like what made Marnie so good?
I think a lot of decks don't expect Palkia to have Marnie, so they just start building up these big hands mid-game with Inteleons, things like that. And then when they get Marnied out of it, and then like Greninja'd, or if it's like Marnied and then hit with the Palkia into like nothingness, it's hard for them to like draw out of it.
I will safely confirm that, as all of my testing was against Palkia without Marnies. And the way that I play that matchup with my deck is very much, I'm going to burn through my resources in a very specific way to avoid getting rock sand into trash and to guarantee combos. Mm-hmm. I can see where the Marnie is disgustingly good.
Yeah. When you get them in with that like last turn before they're like setting everything up and it's like in preparation for the rock sand, it's very good.
So let's talk a little bit about the actual Worlds run, because I remember it. I remember after every round kind of getting those updates and being like, so I'm going to be honest, I thought you were dead in the water after like round three of day one. But before all of that, this is your first world championship since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 6 years. Yeah. What are you thinking when you sit down for round one? How are you feeling and what's going through your head?
When I sit down for round one, it's just like all the adrenaline and you can just like feel the pressure. You see like all the people sitting around the room. All my friends are like in day two. So I'm just like the only person there, and like all of them are sleeping in and I'm like the only person playing it right now. And everyone's just like chilling. And then you just get to the room and it's like a mass of people. And I'm like, I was expecting there to be less. So I'm like, oh, there's so many people here. And then like the first round, I did win pretty convincingly. It was against a Gyarados Jolteon deck. We had a weird interaction where he didn't know how much damage I was doing, and he like set up plays to like Raihan against me. Like he was, and then I was just like, "No, it does 290." And then he was like, "No, it's a knockout." And I think he was from Hong Kong, so he had no clue what I was saying. So I had to call a judge to translate to him that he wasn't knocked out. And then the next turn, I was just like zigzagoo, net, like knockout game. And then like his whole Raihan play was like out the door.
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah.
That's another. Okay. So quick aside, I always struggle with Palkia math to the point where it's kind of embarrassing, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
How did you figure out? Is it like easy for you? Are you just someone who's like, I can do math with no problem? Or did it take you time to get all of these numbers and situations in your head so you don't have to think about it?
Specific things are like the way that I do it, because Palkia's like, there was a card called Absol that I played in like my TDK deck where it's like very similar to like the way that like the damage adds up with Palkia. So it was like very similar, and you're just adding 60 instead of 20 is what I think it did.
Okay,
so but then I think it's both sides, so you just gotta just make sure you add it up. The way that I view it is it just does 200 if both sides and then plus 60.
Okay, so you kind of break it down of like, I'm going to count the number of bench. If it's full, it's this, and then subtract for everyone that's missing. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you pull out round one against Gyarados. Did the Jolteon ever body you, or is the Jolteon just like, it was no big deal?
I think it's tough in that match. It's easier in that matchup than it is Jolteon, Bibarel, Pika, because against Jolteon, Bibarel, Pika, if they put down two Eevees and a Pika, you can't go 90-90 onto the Pika and onto the Jolteon. You have to wipe out both, and then you're leaving the Pika completely clean, and you really can't do that in the matchup.
Yeah, that's one of the big things of, like, you have to Oko the Pika, which means 90-plus hitting it.
Yeah, the math on flying Pika really, like, connects when you're hitting, like, 90 on a Bibarel, 90 on a Pika, and then you kill the active Arceus, and then you just go, like, knockout Pika game.
Yep. It's not that terrible of a matchup. I don't know if you would disagree with that. The non-Jolteon
version. It's not that bad of a matchup, I don't think. I think Jolteon's very bad of a matchup, though.
So you're 1-0. How about what's happening in round number two?
Round number two had the most, like, strange, interesting game where my opponent was, like, he called the judge twice on, like, okay, have you ever put your dice on top of your deck for, like, a mulligan?
Yep, always.
So I put my dice on top of my deck, and, like, this is, like, standard procedure for me. And then he calls the judge and says that, like, because I put it on top and did not declare it, I don't get the mulligans. And I was like, that's not how that works. I don't think that's how it works.
Bro, that is some rule sharking right there.
And then he called the judge, and the judge comes over and basically just, like, agrees with me and says, like, I clearly have intent to grab the mulligans. Like, I'm not, like, he doesn't know what the problem is here. And then he calls for the head judge. And then he gets a ruling on it, the same one. And then he's like, okay, whatever. Game one, he got very lucky from what I remember, because I rock sand him into, like, nothing in a perfect turn, knocked him out. And then he, like, goes, like, oh, draw the one card. And it's like, Pumpkaboo. And then he's like, Arceus for Raihan Pika, and he goes, Raihan Pika DTE game. And I'm like, cool, okay, that's nice. Game two, he tries to call the same call on me with the mulligans, because, like, he mulliganed again, and he tried to call the same thing, and I was like, we just got a ruling for this. And then he called the judge again, and then decided to, like, swear at the judges, and then he got a game loss.
Yeah, you, for anyone listening, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that just as a human being, but you very much cannot do that.
And then it was just the most awkwardest game, like, situation ever, because, like, this dude was clearly, like, trying to shark for a win, but, like, he already won the first game, and I was just sitting there, like, I've never been, like, I've been sharked before on things, but, like, most of the time I feel like it's, like, if someone's sharking, you probably did something, or, like, something did not click right in the game, and, like, this is just mulligans. Like, I've never been sharked on mulligans before in my life. And then you got a game loss, game two, game three just did not finish.
Awesome. So we ended up with a tie in a wonderful round, it sounds like. I'm sure you're incredibly happy finishing that round, right? You're not tilted at all. You're not annoyed with your opponent.
I did not. I just wanted that game to be over. It was, like, the strangest game I've ever played in my life. And, like, I get its worlds. And, like, if, like, people want to shark and, like, play to the, like, fullest of the rules, that's fine, but, like, I swear to God, there is no rule saying that you cannot take mulligans if you put the dice on top.
Yeah,
like, I've never heard of that.
Me neither. I do that all the time. Like, that's the only way I take mulligans, and
I do it every game, and, like, I've never heard that ever in my life.
No,
until clear, like, that exact moment.
Clear, the head judge backed you up, so that is, I'm gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, I don't, because, like, I guess you have clear intent to grab it, so, like, I don't understand what the, like, argument is. Or why you wouldn't want to take mulligans.
Right, I mean, I was going to say there are situations where you wouldn't, but, like, not really. Like, there are, like, Stonejourner mulligans 25 times, maybe. You don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're 101 now. How's round three going to go?
Yeah. I hit a Arceus. Game one, from what I remember, it just went smoothly. Everything was fine. And then I was like, cool, like, this game is, like, completely in my hands. He did not scoop the game up early. The game was, like, a rather long-ish game. So I was like, okay, like, this one was completely in my hands. Like, I'm in favor going into the game two. Game two starts, and I get quickly beat with, like, a solo pass.
That's a bad feeling.
And then game three, we just tied. And I was like, okay. And like, I'm in like dominating board position. Like, I, from what I remember, I killed like two of his sobbles and he did not put down any V's. And he was just sitting there like quick ball for like Dunsparce pass. And I was like, okay, cool.
Bro, we had the exact same experience. Let's go.
Super long on all the actions. And I'm like, okay, you're going for a tie, aren't you? And then time gets called. There's like, I've taken three prizes. I'm turn zero. And like, I'm like, cool. There's only like three Pokemon down for me. So like, I literally cannot win this game. I guess we tied.
For anyone listening who is planning to go to Worlds for next year, playing for the tie is not really the move. And you're going to figure out why, because now we're 102. You're on a win and in every single round.
Every game.
How are you feeling knowing that you cannot lose in the next five rounds? You have to 501 from here, right? Is that math work out or 401?
You can tie one more, but you have to win like every game. You cannot lose any game.
So what's going through your head?
I am panicking. I think it was lunch break and I'm sitting there like, I could have won this game. I swear to God. Like I was with my fiance at the time and I was just sitting there like, this game's going to come back to bite me and I know it. Like, I'm like panicking. I don't know if you like forgot the noodles place's name, but it was like the I was sitting there eating the noodles and I was like, ah, this is gonna come back to bite me and I know it. This game is gonna be the one that like ruins me and ruins my run. Like, I was like, this one was in my hands and like I just like dead drew and I blew it. Like,
so you're in your head at this point, it sounds like, which to be fair, I was the same way after my second tie. I was like everything, like, you know, you're second guessing everything, but you have another round to play. Mm-hmm. How do you calm yourself down then? Or do you not? And you just kind of like do Palkia stuff.
I just got into the next game and it was an Urshifu. Game one, I lost in the most bizarre way. I didn't know what his deck really was doing because like... It was like Urshifu, Inteleon VMAX, and he was, I was like, so I feel like I'm in a very good spot right now, and then he bumps my path, he goes, Inteleon the 2020 onto the Manaphy, and then he goes, Zigzagoon onto the Manaphy, quick shooting the Manaphy, and then he scoop up nets, and then goes quick shooting onto the other Sobble. And then he yoga loops me, takes two off the Manaphy. Mm-hmm. And then the next turn, he goes quick shooting on the Sobble and then goes rapid flow, knockout, and takes four. And I'm just sitting there like, okay,
oh,
I
got
bodied. I lost.
That's
game
so gross.
I knew what he was doing. So like, I just beat him because like I knew his plan was to pull off that play. So when he was stacking up cards, I was just like, Marnie you out of it, and then the next turn Roxanne when you go to three. And then like game three, I was in another very good board position. I felt like I was just doing the same strat. Mm-hmm. And I asked my opponent at the start of the game, can we just do like a board state agreement? If you're winning on board state, you can have the win. If I'm winning on board state, same thing. And he agreed to it. And when we got to that like scenario, he thought he had an out. So I was like, okay, if that's how you feel. Like, I didn't want to like start a commotion or anything, but like he did agree to like the agreement, but then he like said like it was possible for him to win. He, like, and I was like, okay, sure.
Yeah, you can't start a commotion, right? Like, that's the correct thing of just like, okay, you're gonna be that way, fine.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, I guess we tied then. And then I was like leaving the table like, I just tied again.
We're also got the broken 103 record now.
Yep.
Like, your tournament should be dead. I would be shocked if, spoiler alert, any other player makes day two with this record. Right? Like,
yeah, I thought I was done. I was like, after I'm starting like 103, I'm sitting there at the table and I was just like, I think I'm done. Like, this tournament's like over. And then I'm like, well, I have a shot. I'm still in it, I guess. Like, I just have to win every single game and I cannot tie.
Which is also like, because you're in the tie bracket, right? These other people have tied three games.
But like, I hit the first person I hit had three ties, and the next person I hit, though, I think was X and 2. I think I was also in the X and 2 bracket because I was technically 6 match points if I was...
Oh, yeah, so you had the same record technically as someone who was like 3-2 or whatever the round was, 4-2.
Yeah.
Okay, so you avoided only playing slow players.
Yeah, the next game I did hit someone that was also a 103. It was not a fun matchup. He was playing Palkia. I think he had it, but he made like a random misplay in game 3 and just like lost the game from it.
We take those.
Like, he had to double quick shooting me, but instead he did not do it preactively. He was going to try to do it on the last turn. So then I just like bossed and killed it before the drizzle, so he could not like, or the Inteleon, so he couldn't double quick shooting. And then he just could not kill me.
Let's go.
And then like right after the game, he was like, I had the net in hand too. I was thinking of doing it, but I wanted to like do it the next turn, just quick shooting. And I was like, yeah, man, sorry.
It sucks, but you, as a good player, you saw his win condition and you're like, I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
Right on. So we
I was hoping if he had a rod, though, he would have beat me. But like, I was like, I hope he just does not have a rod.
I'm going to assume up until you and I'm going to assume your testing partner, Andrew Estrada, did very well with a rod in the deck. I'm always assuming like there's no recovery in Palkia. Palkia lists are so greedy with Pokemon. I'm not sure if it's the right word, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm just wanting to beat you down. Like they might have like a quick shooting in there. Sometimes they have like a Marnie, but most of the time not.
Yeah, it's...
But it's hard to fit all those cards in with 4 VIP pass.
You're not wrong. That is a lot of space. It's like 3 out of your 60 cards. Because you always play 1, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So now, 203. All right, we're on the come up, right? You only got to go 3-0. No problem. Easy.
Yeah. The next game, I think I hit another Palkia. And he was playing Ice Rider Tech in it.
Like a 1-1, or was it like a equal split type thing? Or you're not sure? 2-2. Okay.
I think it was 2-2. He game 1, all I remember is that he was just like turn 1, he like drawed and he was like VIP pass, VIP pass, like opening hand going first.
Oh,
and I was just
no.
like, this game is not gonna go well. And then he just like proceeded to like knock out like my Palkia turn 2, the only one on board, and I was like, I'm gonna go first.
Smart move.
And then like in my head I'm like, I'm one game away from losing, like being done with this turn.
Oh no, you're in that mental spiral of like, I'm so close to losing.
Yes. Game 2, he just dead drew. And like I was like, okay, he like started like Ice Rider, like a bunch of junk basically.
Yeah.
Did not get a solve out.
Ice Rider dead drawing sounds right.
Mm-hmm. I had a Palkia and then that was it. Game 3, it came down to a Roxanne and he needed to find the tool. Scrapper and the belt because I Roxanne jammered the active Palkia and then I hit into it and then all I needed was a Zigzagoon on the next turn to knock it out and then knock out. It was kind of cool because I hit it with a freaking Manaphy
like for the rain splash out. Let's go.
And then I hit with the Palkia for like 280 and then or I think it was 280 or something like that, but I zigged once, so I just needed like a net or something just to like knock it out clean.
Yeah.
And I rain splash set it up. And then all he needed though to win off that Roxanne was belt and scrapper though. But like he did not hit that. And my bench was full, so he couldn't like go horn or anything weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or like boss.
I'm sure you can back this up, but contrary to what people tend to say, Roxanne's not actually a lie. It's pretty
from
effective.
From my experiences, when I get Roxanne, I get nothing. When my opponent gets Roxanne, they usually get nothing.
It's a heck of a good card. Turns out 2 cards when you play the Inteleon engine is not enough.
Yes, especially when they're like not picking up their Inteleons and stuff and leaving their outs in deck. Like when they're like, his shady dealings and quick shooting is down, and the only out he has is a Drizzile, so his only out is a net.
Oh, it's like that's so bad.
You're not going to draw out of this, I don't think.
All right, so we pull it off. We're at 303. The record, again, no one wants, but you're there. You need 2 more dubs.
Yeah. The next game, I hit a Flying Pika, and that might have been my easiest game of the day. Like,
really?
It did not go his way. Both games, he was just like, he put down a Bibero, a Flying Pika, and an Arceus. Game one, he did miss an energy attachment, and then I was just like, knock out Bibero, 90 on the Pika.
Yep, that's GG's. And then
he was just like, he was like, okay, attach, like, hit you, put some there, and I was just like, cross switcher, knock, like, Raihan or something, knock out, or Leon, knock out your Pika. And then he was just like, scoop. And then game two, like, basically the same thing happened, except he did not miss turn one energy.
Can I just say, I love the Leon tech. I was helping some of our locals test because they'd been on Ice Rider Palkia. Ice Rider Palkia is a giant pile. I hate the deck. So yeah, convince them over to Palkia. And that was one of the things of like, Leon is nuts. Can you come?
Leon is very good.
A situation
especially
like
hitting those numbers, it's insane. Because like people don't expect it. Like when they're like with a VMAX, they're like, okay, cool. I'm at like 260. I'm safe. Like, yep. I'm not getting knocked out this turn unless they go triple net or like goon triple net, something weird.
Yeah.
So they don't think they're going to get knocked out. So then when you just like go like Leon Belt, they're just like, oh, you just knocked me out. Like,
it's just such a game changer. Like, your opponent's like, I'm playing around horn. I'm playing around quick shooting. I'm good to go. And you're like, well, you're not playing around plus 30, are you?
Even at 240, if you go Leon Belt, goon net, clean knockout, which is insane.
It's so good. All right, so now we're on a real winning in. You've had like win mm-hmm. and lose or losing your out tournaments, but now you're 4-3. Another win gets you there.
Mm-hmm.
What was your last round? How are you feeling? I guess actually let's start there. How are you feeling into that last round? Are you on top of the world? Like, I'm unbeatable.
Stressful. Other than my win it in for day two, that one was my most stressful one of the day, because like I was like, I just climbed all the way here. I cannot lose this game. Like, if I lose this game, like, I might not recover from this. This is going to be rough.
No, that would have been terrible, right? Because you were like the people's champion at that point. They didn't know it because no one was paying attention. But
yeah,
if they were paying attention, you were the people's champion.
Yeah, I was literally 103 to now 403. And I'm just like, I just like, I need to win this game. And then like, I'm shuffling up and I'm like, there's like a few people watching and like some of his friends. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is going to be one of those games. And like, I'm just shuffling up. We start the game and he like flips over Palkia. And I'm like, okay, this is a Palkia mirror match. Cool. And like,
boy, before you do that, do you think you're favored in the Palkia mirror? If your opponent flips over the Palkia, are you like, I'm pretty sure I can beat you? Or are you still just like, this is a coin flip?
I lost to one Palkia mirror from day one and day two out of 9.
Jeez, what?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you're like, I can beat the Palkia mirror. I'm good here.
I think Palkia mirror is good for our deck. Even if you like don't draw very well, I think you can still win.
We did see, again, spoiler alert, but for anyone who watched the like the play-in game or whatever it's technically called, game one I was like, oh, this is terrible, I can't watch. And then you pulled off one of the most amazing comebacks I've ever seen. It was like,
it was going really bad.
All right,
like,
keep on.
I knew I could win that game after like the first keep calling, like just the way that he was setting his board up, I knew like I had a shot.
All right, we're going to get back to that one because I'm curious what is going through your head at that point. But we still got round 8 of day one. How'd you pull off that mirror? Or was it just like a textbook?
I think he made a few mistakes. He left his board very wide open to Greninja to choose the Greninja me first, which was like, I get why you might be tempted to do it, but both games he did it and both games he lost from it very early. Like, he just left his board very wide open because like I went second both games and I started off with a keep calling and a Palkia down.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to go like knockout on the bench Sobbles, and I don't know if that's a great plan because like I already have a Sobble out, I have two Palkias down, and I have two other Sobbles down, and one's active. So like in theory, it kind of makes sense, but if you leave your board drastically like open and like nothing really else is going on other than like the Greninja play, you're not in a great position.
when we had Noah Yoshida on after his top eight NAIC run, that was one of the things he said. Greninja is almost always bait in the mirror match for that exact reason. You can't disrupt your board to pull off a ninja play because it's not actually that good. Like, it's good, but
yeah, you could. I think you only do it if like it's if they don't have ninja down, if you can put path down, if they have ninja down, or if they have only two Sobble down at all.
That sounds about
right. If they have ways to just draw out of it, I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
All right,
because you just drastically like destroy your board.
Yeah. And that's
to pull it off.
And you can't. Palkia is a deck of board states, right? Like you have to build this board state where you're like, I can't lose now, GG's.
Both games he started with Palkia attached to it again, retreated it into the ninja, then put three on put three onto it with two Sobbles down, and then tried to wipe two Sobbles off my board. In both games, I went turn one, keep calling for three.
Yeah, that's so like that sounds bad.
It did not work out because like I was just like, okay, cool, draw, like Irida, set up my Palkia, like knock you out, put down path, or I was just like, knock out your one Palkia with the cross switcher, or the other time I was just like, ninja you back both your Sobbles and put down path, and then like your ninja stuck active here, and like if you don't have your either one or two copies of Melanie in hand, you're not attacking me.
Yeah, and at that point that's your comeback right there, right? You're like, all right, I'm gonna get this, and you're not.
Both games, that's what happened and the way it played out. Game one, I cross switched up his only Palk on board and then just knocked it out, and then like set back up my board, and then like that was it. Game two, the same thing happened, except I ninja'd both the Sobbles off board, put path down for his ninja, and then he was just stuck.
So you're into day two with the coveted record of 5-0-3, which
no tie, no like tie at the end.
So I want
to win, tie, win.
I want to point this out. So there were people, right? Like that's how Ross Coffin or like Kobe from our locals, that's how they got in, was like the double ID at the end. But you went the hard way. Both my first round and second round opponents in time were like, oh, I can play for a tie. 5-0-3 is not that bad. You went the 5-0-3 route. Would you say it's not that bad?
It's bad. All my opponents basically did the same thing where they were just like, if I tie, I'm still in the tournament. If I lose, I'm out. So they were just tying. But like, 5-0-3 is very bad because like you don't give yourself any wiggle room. You literally have to win every single game. And if you lose any, you're just done. If you tie any, you're done. If your opponent doesn't accept an agreement and it goes to a tie, you're done. Like,
it's
a very rough situation.
I've seen you play a lot of tournaments. I've never seen you quite as visibly stressed as that day one of four, for a good reason.
I was like, very stressed. I was panicking after 102. I was in panic mode. I was like, this is going bad. This is going wrong. This is not what's supposed to be happening. Like, you're supposed to be going 5-0 and then tying out and calling it a day. Like,
but you did it. You did the ridiculous comeback. So now day two. We're into day two. Let's start with how did you sleep that night? Did you have no problem sleeping? Were you like, I got this, I just spent the whole day playing poke? Or were you like,
that I was miserable? I crashed as soon as I got to the hotel.
That's
so good.
I got
to the hotel and just straight asleep.
Nice. Okay, so you weren't like up stressed out or anything. Did you make any changes to the list? Or are you like, this got me here, I'm good?
I was thinking of switching to Mew because my group was on Mew. So like, they were all trying to convince me that like Mew was going to be the play for this event because they were thinking that like Palkia is good, but like they want to beat the decks that are trying to beat Palkia, and usually Mew tends to do that.
True. Which is part of the logic I had as well of like, I have to take a good Mew matchup because that sounds very true. So how did they not convince you? Because that sounds like really good logic. I almost fell for it as well.
Me and Estrada almost did switch to Mew.
Were you
like,
just
we were like seconds before the check-in because we were had an opportunity to switch our deck, I think, before the second day in the morning. And we were just like, we're just gonna run it back with Palkia. This deck felt very good. We both did very good in it in day one. Let's just run it back.
Nice. So you trusted your boy Palkia that got you there. And it paid off for both of you, actually, because your crew didn't do bad, right? Like so there were some good finishes with those Mew players, but not quite as good as you and Andrew did.
Yeah, Palkia was very good call, I think. If I would have played Mew, I don't think it would have did well.
So
my matchup spread was not good for Mew.
Gosh, day two looked kind of sketchy for Mew. Like, there was a lot of decks that auto lost to Mew, and there were a lot of decks that were just like, they seemed to feast on Mew.
Yeah.
So now you're sitting down for day two.
Yeah.
What's going through your head? It's a new tournament. You look around. There's all the best players in the world. Not saying you don't belong there, but it's hard sometimes to put ourselves in that mindset, right? So what are you thinking? Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, I'm looking, like, around. I'm like, okay, these are the top, top players, like, the best of the best in the world. And, like, this is my first year back. So, like, my expectations for this were, like, just making day two and, like, having, like, a respectable finish and trying to just do good. Game one, I got beat with the sauce. I started off 0-1
oh, no. Day,
and it was not fun. Like, I was like, and I really felt like I should have won too. It was so unfortunate. Game one, he beat me because he played, he was playing Arc Intel, which usually is a good matchup.
Oh, yeah.
But he was playing very weird cards in his deck that I was not accounting for. He was also from Japan, so maybe that's why they play weird decks sometimes.
You have to watch out when you see the JP next to someone's name. You're like, there's going to be cards I'm not expecting.
I had six Japanese players in day two.
So you had some interesting text show up, I assume.
Yeah, he hit me with the double yell towel.
Double? In the arc. What?
And powerful energy bossed my other Palkia and killed it.
That's kind of nice.
And then I just could not win. He was down choice belt, so I was like, okay, I'm safe. And when he put like the big charm on, I'm like, this cannot kill my Palkia on the bench. I'm good. And then he was like, powerful energy, boss, double yell towel, knockout. And then I'm just sitting there looking like,
what?
I was feeling like I was in a good spot because he needed to take three prizes. So I was like, I have three turns because he cannot one-shot anything on my board. And then with the double yell towel, cleared all his damage. So he didn't need to Sharon's with another Arceus. And then was like, boss. Knockout. And I was like, oh my god, what just happened?
That's so disgusting.
How about game two? Yeah. I knew what he was doing, so I just won. Game three, like, I rotted two energy and I had five outs in deck, and he was like, Roxanne. And I was like, okay, there's five outs. I have 10 cards. I should win this.
It's high probability.
Draw three, and they're all dead. And I'm like, okay, cool. You got me. I was pretty upset.
God, Roxanne is, it's definitely a card.
Oh, yeah.
So now at 0-1, the only way you make top cut is, again, just like day one, winning
every single
round. Are you worried about that at all? Or are you still like, I just want a respectable finish and we'll see how it goes?
I just wanted to play it game by game at that point. I was just like, these are the top players in the world. I just need to play it game by game and see where I finish.
That's smart. I'm so bad at doing that, but I'm glad that you can do that for sure. So round two, what are you up against? How's it going?
Round two, I hit an Ice Rider. Game one, he did not get a great setup. He like quick balled for a Sobble, had like a
straight Ice Rider or Ice Rider Palkia?
It was Ice Rider Palkia. Okay. But he played like a 1-1 Palkia in his list.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was just like Ice Rider. It was like 4-3 Ice Rider from what I remember. And there was like a 1-1 Palkia in there. He didn't really go for it much. He just put it down like late game.
That's so weird.
When he like, it was weird. The way that he played it, he did play path though. But like the way he played it was weird. So like he was like pathing early, trying to like just attack with Ice Riders, Melanies, and Sobbles. And then like late game, he would go like Palkia, evolve it when I would like put the training court down. And then he would just be like Palkia attach and then try to like pull off like a boss end gameplay with Horn.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I don't know if that's correct, but that's definitely a way to play.
It did not work out for him. Game one, he did not draw very well from what I remember. I went first, got like a pretty decent setup. He like quick balled for a Sobble with an Ice Rider attached pass. And then like game two, I remember he started Battle Pass, but then like that was kind of it. Like he was like Battle Pass for like Sobble, Ice Rider. He started Sobble and then was like pass.
That's a good feeling, right? But your like, opponent throws the VIP pass and you're like, I'm screwed. And then they do nothing and you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, so we're 1-1. We're back on the good side of things. 1-1 is a good feeling. I assume it is.
Yeah. It was okay. I was like, okay, we're getting back into this. We're fine. Like, the last game, I really felt like I deserved the win, but I was like, it's okay. Like, Roxanne happens. Like, it's unfortunate when, like, you feel like you play, like, very well throughout the game and you manage your resources and you even take into account that they're going to Roxanne you. So you, like, thin out your entire hand. Ordinary Rod, 2 energies, because all I needed was an energy at this point. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was like, I have everything set up. All I need is just, like, I have 10 cards in deck. He's going to Roxanne me the 3. There's 5 outs in there. Like, I have good odds of winning this game. And then it's just like, well, I didn't get anything. You got me.
It's one of those interesting, like, a lot of us try to, you know, minimize the RNG, right? And yet Roxanne's that one piece of RNG that we just kind of accept is a good part of the game.
Yeah. There's got to be some comeback potential with Roxanne. So that's a good love-hate relationship. I like when I'm Roxanne-ing, but when I'm getting Roxanne, it's not.
That's a good summary of Roxanne right there. So round 3, 1-1. What shows up?
I hit another Palkia. And game 1, I lost. Game 2... Game 1, I lost. I think it just didn't start much. He just cross-switched my Palkia turn 2. Yep. Only one on board. Wiped it. And that was about that. Game 1, I pretty much did the same thing to him. I, like, set my board up. He did not get anything. I went cross-switcher on his only Palkia. That was about that.
Easy.
Game 3 was very interesting. It came down to... I had... a low bench with the perfect amount of numbers for go choice belt Leon knockout on his active. Mm-hmm. So he needed a lot to knock out my active Palkia. He couldn't pull it off. And then I just palpatted Leon it again, knocked it out for the game.
Let's go. The Leon carrying so hard.
I did Leon a lot throughout the day.
That's such a good card. All right, we're 2-1. We're doing well. If it's a League Cup, you're still in contention for cut. Worlds, still technically in contention, a little harder. Mm-hmm. How about that next round?
The next round, I hit a Mewtwo V Union.
The control
Before that game, I definitely did hit an Ice Rider. This one was from Great Britain. I think his name was Jack.
Okay, nice.
And, yeah, game 1, he obliterated me. Like, just he started Ice Rider and then was like VIP pass game 1 going first, and then like I got down one Palkia and he was just like boss Ice Rider attach knockout, and like
those rare games where Ice Rider is like, wait, this is the BDIF, right?
Yeah, game 2 he did the same thing, like wipe my thing, and then I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna lose this game 2, aren't I? And then I sent up a Manaphy and went Leon and like attach to it and hit him with it.
Bro, the rain splash for 50. Let's go.
He did not have boss from what I remember. Mm-hmm. And he had to kill the rain splash. I sent up a Palkia, went V star to it, and then belted it. And then I think I rock sand him and then pathed him in the same turn as well. Nice. And I put 2 on the 2 on the Radiant Greninja, 1 on the active, and attached to the active because he didn't have down
Manaphy.
Yeah. And I hit him for like, I think, 220, if I believe.
Okay,
I
remember, so he was close, but not quite.
Yeah. And then from what I remember, I cross-switched up his other. He just swung into me with Riot of the Heist King or something.
Yeah.
And then I cross-switched up his other Ice Rider with no energy on it, and then it went 90 knockout on his only Sobble, and then he had a Drizzile, and he had only a Drizzle on bench. Mm-hmm. He was down double incense, so I was like, the odds of him like drawing out of this for the shady dealings is probably pretty low. So then I took 4 prizes there, and then he missed, and then I was like Leon board Echoing Horn game.
Let's go. The Palpad Leon coming in clutch again.
Yeah, dude, Manaphy did a lot of work that game for me, which is so bizarre.
That's one of those attacks you never expect to be good, but that's now twice, actually, where you've said Manaphy has come in clutch.
Yeah, just, like, doing some type of damage sometimes is, like, good. Because, like, the math quickly adds up with modifiers, so you can just look at it as, like, a modifier that's 20, just basically a quick shooting.
Yeah, and if they can't boss around it, you're like, whatever, knock it out, I don't care.
Yeah, game 3... he had a rough, shaky start, and I was like running through him. But I knew we had like they do have like the timers that you can like physically see.
Yeah.
And like I'm looking, I looked at the timer. I'm like, we have 2 minutes left.
Oh,
and like,
no.
But like I was like running through him. I took 2 prizes on the first like turn. He had no like anything to do and was just like sobbles on bench. And he was like, I'm sorry, I have to play like this. And then he was just like draw like. Put down another like basic and was just like pass and not like a V or anything.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, I know what's happening. And then I knocked out. And then going into his turn zero, it was turn zero time called on his side. And then I was just like, cool, he puts down another basic and I cannot take 3 prizes. Maybe I can pull off a horn play if he doesn't fill up his bench. So I was like, knocked out his basic, and I was like, do not put down another basic. And he was like, ordinary rod, put down another like non V. And I was like, all right, cool, we tied.
Oh, it feels so bad. Like, it is, especially in day two, it is technically correct, but you hate to see it.
Yeah,
just like, oh, I'm not gonna lose. Like, but
I was like, now I have to win every single game.
Yeah, we're 1-1-1 or 2-1-1 at this point.
2-1-1.
Yeah, that's,
but at that point, I wasn't too mad with the outcome of the game because, like, game two, I was like, I don't think I'm winning this. This is looking really rough.
You got to stole a game, so you're like, I'll take a tie, I guess. That's fine.
Yeah, even though game three was really going my way, I was like, I'll just take a tie. Like, that's fine. Like, I don't think I should have won this game to begin with.
So what happened? So I think Mewtwo V Union was the next one. Was it
control? I don't play any, like, I don't know. I hit a Mewtwo V Union, but I didn't have any, like, it was like the control where it's like the Oranguru, Galarian, Meowth, like straight Hammer, Snorlax, Evoltal, Sydney. From what I remember, game one, I don't play like any techs. We don't play Scrapper either, and we don't play quick shooting. So like the only thing that we can do is like go Horn, Leon, and try to Leon again.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a play where you can board wipe 2 in 1 turn and catch them like surprise.
Mm-hmm.
With the Leon grading Greninja, Zigzagoon knockout. So like if we can do that on that like turn before when they're thinking they have an extra turn, and then we can just go Horn game.
Because that's almost always the board state before you Mewtwo, right? You're like, I've got 2 things because I have to net one of them, and yeah.
They'll like their board state will usually be like a Miltank, a Snorlax active, Galarian, Meowth. Game one, he got out Mewtwo V Union. Like turn three.
Ooh, that's gross.
With the energies on it and everything, I was like,
that's GG's, man. You got me.
He like got it all out, like netted, had no bench down, was just like Mewtwo V Union, had the tool jammer on it too. And I was just like, cool. But he only got back 1 energy and then he was like, draw, attach another energy. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like. Turn 4 fully set up Mewtwo, jeez.
If the deck always did that, that would be just like BDIF.
Oh yeah, I was like scoop. Like it was like 6 minutes and I just scooped to the Mewtwo. It was so weird. And then I was like, this game's gonna be very like hard to win. Game 2, I put 2 on the Greninja, 1 on the Palkia, just taking prizes. He was just setting up.
Mm-hmm.
He could have V-Union the turn before, but he thought he had an extra turn because typically Palkia only play 1 Echoing Horn. So when they're on that like extra turn, they think they just need to get you before 2.
Yeah.
2 prizes. So he was at 3. And then I was like, Leon with the Gradient Greninja, Zigzagoon the active, knockout the Snorlax, knockout the Galarian Meowth. And then he just had a lone Miltank active. And then I was just like, Echoing Horn cross switcher game. Nice. But like he had the full setup basically. Like he could have done it that turn, but he was just like setting it up for the net play.
Yeah. Which is like you technically make some amount of sense, right? You're like, this is probably the correct play, and then you're like, nope, I've got every answer.
Yeah. Game two took very long. Like
sounds right.
Game one was 6 minutes, game two was probably like 28-30.
Yep.
So I was like, we do not have a lot of time for this game three, and I need to like win this because a tie here is not good for me. Like 2-0-2-1-2 is not the record you want.
No, it's not super great. I mean, it's like it's good. It's day two of worlds, but you're out of cut at that point.
And it's not what you're looking
yeah,
for.
Exactly. You're just done.
Mm-hmm. And then game three, I remember that he did not have a great start. He started Evil-Tall.
That's good. Not Snorlax.
Yeah. He Evil-Talled quick ball for a Snorlax and passed. And then I just like went through like my setup and then I just passed. He did not have a way to retreat it. And I was like, perfect. Like he had only a, like a psychic energy and he attached it to the Evil-Tall and passed. And I was like, this is great. Cross Witcher, your Snorlax knockout. And then he drew, and then he drew like another Snorlax. And I was like, boss, kill it with the thing. And then he drew a research. And I was like, Jesus, I had this game. If he did not just top tick a research. And then he researched for like a Galarian Meowth. But like, he had no Mewtwo pieces in there. And then like, he put down like a Galarian Meowth. Put one Mewtwo piece in there and then just scoop up Ned into a Snorlax. Mm-hmm. And then I think I cleared the Snorlax. And then the next turn he sent something up. I was like, Radiant Greninja, knock out the both. And then he had to send up Miltank. And then he was at one prize. And he was just like, there's nothing I could do. That's and then time got called. And I was like, okay, cool. Cross Witcher game.
Perfect timing. You love to see it. I love to see it too because you didn't mention it. I know you were on Mewtwo for a while.
Yeah.
So it must have felt good to take what should have been one of their best matchups and just beat them. Like beat them pretty handily, it sounds like.
Yeah, we were talking about it after day one, me and Andrew, and we were like, I think Mewtwo beats us pretty handily. So we were like, is there anything that we can do in this matchup? Because we did not want to play Scrapper. We wanted to play Jammer. We did not know that Jolteon was going to see so much high play, though, with those Japanese players pulling it out.
I don't think anyone like, saw that coming.
Yeah, but we thought that Jammer was very good, especially in, like, Mirror and against, like, Radiant Charizard and things like that, things that want to pivot, things that want to use Belt to knock you out. So we really wanted to play Jammer. And we did not want to play Scrapper because Scrapper, we always felt like through testing that it was like in our hand and it was like they got to use their, they already got to use it and we were going to knock it out anyway. So like, why are we jammering here or scrappering here? Jammer would have been better in like almost every scenario other than against Mewtwo and other than against like the Jolteon deck that came up.
Yeah, no, I think Jammer was 100% the correct call for day two, which just turn into a little awkward given the meta.
Yeah.
So now you're 3-1-1. You're sitting pretty at this point. Like you still have some winning to do, but that's a darn good record.
Yeah.
So what are you hitting? Was day two 8 rounds or seven?
8.
8? Okay, so you have a long way to go still.
Yeah.
What about round 6 then? 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6.
I think I hit another Ice Rider. Okay. But he was playing a 2-2 Ice Rider, and it was like a Palkia hybrid.
So you just feast on it. You're just the better Palkia deck at that point.
Yeah, from what I remember, game one, he had the canceling cologne, which was cool with the Greninja. So he did take 2 prizes. But like, I just had like a good hand, like irrelevant to like the killing two. And like a lot of the time I would go second and go like turn two, keep calling, which is very good. Like, especially if like you go, if you get 2 Palkias down and you keep calling 3 Sobbles, like that's your deck set up for the entire game.
Oh yeah. Cause you don't need, like if you use 1 Shady Dealings a turn as Palkia, I'm pretty sure you feel good about that. Right? Like you're like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Like even if he kills 2 of them with the, if he kills 2 of my things, like most of the time I did not put down Manaphy a lot because I would just opt to like want to have another Sobble down unless like I had this like Manaphy where it's like I need to be protected this turn.
Yeah. But I assume like your ideal, quote unquote, ideal board says like 2 Palkias, a Greninja, and then 3 Sobbles.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So you body another Ice Rider because Ice Rider's bad. I'm gonna throw that out there right now.
I had another Ice Rider the next round.
So I assume you're feeling, are you afraid of Ice Rider at all at this point? Or are you just like, I figured this match like, out.
If they like turbo you and like go like insane board state and you only get 1 Palkia down, they're going to rip you to shreds. But like if they, their deck's pretty clunky and if they just do not draw their pieces, it's not going to go well for him. He was playing Bibero though, from what I believe.
Oh, okay. So this was, I personally do think this is better than the Inteleon version, but it's still, they don't get to tutor what they want, right? They don't get to search out what they want every turn. So it's like, okay, you didn't get the scrapper and the belt on my jammer yeah. because you can't find it.
Mm-hmm. From what I remember, game one, he just like blitzed me. Like he went first, went like three VIP passes and just destroyed me. Like he started three VIP passes. Like given he did Greninja into one, but like he started three VIP passes. I also mulliganed four times this game.
Ooh, that's
so crazy. Like,
nope, that's bad.
Yeah, he very quickly like handled my deck, like, and I was like, cool, like if Ice Rider does that, they're just gonna win, like,
yeah,
that's a given. But like from this standpoint, I was like, I only need two more wins and I'm in day two, like top cut. So like I was like, okay, we just need to make a comeback. Game two, he did not have a great start, like it was like very shaky, and I was just like dominated the whole game. Game three, it came down to almost the same like thing where it was like he rocks and me, and I was like, I need to just draw one out.
Mm-hmm.
And I drew one out. So then I was like, knock out your active. And then he needed to draw. He knocked me out. And then on the next turn, I was like, I'm going to Roxanne you back now.
Nice.
And then it came down to him needing to hit scrapper, jammer, or scrapper choice belt to get rid of my jammer. And then he also needed a Melanie, and he also needed another energy.
Ooh, that's a little too much. Even with a B barrel, that's a little too much.
He did have a barrel, so I was like, Roxanne, you're like 10 card hand or something.
Yep.
And then he did hit scrapper, he did hit belt, but he did not hit another energy off the Melanie.
God, your heart has to be pounding when he's going through all of that.
Yes, he was like, Melanie, and then he's looking at his hand, and like I'm like, I think he has it. Because like he drew the raw Melanie in, off the barrel, and I was just like, I think he's got this game. Yeah, he got Melanie. He has like no belts and discards. So I was like, This is looking rough. Like he probably only plays one or two scrappers, so he does need to hit that specific card. But then he was like, scrapper belt, and I was like, oh Jesus, he got me. This is over.
And then the energy doesn't come down, and you're just like, oh my gosh. I did.
He's just looking at his hand. I was like, does he not have the energy? And then he passed. And I was like, thank God. And I was just like, cross which are your like other Ice Rider knockout game.
Ooh, that's a good feeling. So now you're in a winning end, right? At this point, you're 5-1-1? Yeah, 5-1-1. So when do you know for sure it's a winning end, or are you not sure yet?
From asymmetrical, I knew for sure it was a win it in, because they would have did the asymmetrical cut. Like, even if there was more of us, we would all made it.
Okay, so you're certain. And by my calculations, it looked like there were going to be 10 of you. It turned out Ross and I forget who was playing. Ross ended up tying. Yeah, there you go. Lars Miloslav tied, so there were 9. But, so you know, you have the pressure of, I have another win it in. You had, you know, one the day before. You've got another one now. This one a top cut of Worlds. How are you feeling? Are you like cruise control? I got this. Are you nervous? Like, where are you at?
I was very nervous because like specifically this season, my win-it-ins have not gone very well for me. I lost a win-it-in at Indy to top 8. I lost a win-it-in at Salt Lake the round before to top 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lost a win-it-in at Vancouver as well.
Bro, win-it-ins are tough.
Yeah, I was over 3 on win-it-ins this season, which was not amazing. Like, and the win-it-in thing is like the difference between like top 8 and top 32, basically, or top 16 and top 8, which is like a drastic difference.
Oh yeah, and that's what feels really bad, right? You're like, if I win, I'm in top 8. If I lose, I'm top 32. Like, I go two things down, which feels so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you hit?
I hit. Someone I played a lot of like online tournaments against. I think his name was Haru Nishigawa or something like that.
Yes, I do recognize like, the name.
I played against him a lot of the time, like online tournaments, and I definitely recognize his name. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I know who this is. And when we sit down, I'm like, he's like, let's do no ties, like board state. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine with that. And then,
perfect.
And then we flip over and it's a mirror match. And I'm like,
no,
another mirror match. Here we go.
So every deck you hit in day two was a blue deck except Mewtwo, right? Like it was all Ice Riders, Palkias, and a Mewtwo. Oh, no, you hit Arceus. Never mind.
I hit one Arc.
Yeah, that's right.
But other than that, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, you hit the mirror match.
Yeah, I hit 6 blue decks.
Jeez. Are you, unless you water's good?
Arceus is one. Arc Intel.
I mean, it plays water energy. I wouldn't count it, but I can see the argument if someone wants to.
Yeah. But yeah, we flipped over. I seen it was a mirror, and I was like, okay, let's buckle in and get ready for a mirror match.
It's like, by this point, though, you know the mirror match.
I've played a lot of mirror matches with the deck, so I was like, I feel like I'm in a decent spot. Like, I think my deck does well against mirror. Given these Japanese lists do look very weird sometimes, so you never know what they're going to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be cautious of things.
You see, like, the rare candy and capture energies are normal, but sometimes there's, you know,
I think he plays 3 or 4 capture.
Jeez, that's... I don't hate it at all. I don't know where you find the room for it, but capture is a heavy capture. Interesting. I'm going to look on Limitless after to see that list. But anyway, how's the matchup going to go?
Game one, it came down to me needing to hit... I needed a drizzle out off of a Roxanne.
Mm-hmm.
Just to not get it.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like... I felt kind of crushed because I was like... I was like, in my head, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm about to lose another win it in. This is great.
Oh, no.
I was like, in bulky mirrors, you do not want to lose the first game. That is not how it usually goes well for you.
No, that feels really bad to guarantee that you have to go second one more time.
Yep. Game two, then, he did not set up very well. And I think I just won very quickly. He scooped it up and tried to go to game three.
That's good.
He was very worried about ties. Like, he did not want a tie. Like, he was like, no ties, let's just scoop, let's go. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, we have, like, I look at the clock, you have to judge how much time's on the clock. It's like 28 minutes. Like, we have a decent amount of time to finish this game.
That's reasonable to finish a Palkia mirror match, for sure.
Yeah. Game three was going his way until he made, like, a critical error.
Ooh, we take those. What was the error?
He Melanied to the active, and then he also needed a bucket to attach.
Mm-hmm.
So he, which often Palkia players do, is they usually Irida for the bucket and another Pokemon. He goes Sobble for Irida. And
oh,
then,
oh no.
And then he shuffles up, and then I cut. And then he played like a incense where Palkia evolves it. Mm-hmm. And then he goes like Irida, and I'm like, you already Melanied. And then he's just like, looks at his hand, and he's like, looks at his discard, and he's like, oh.
Throw the face palm. I mean, I know, I would 100% do the same.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels bad. And it's interesting, right? Because Irida's such a mediocre card, technically. Mm-hmm. I could see where you're like, this isn't a supporter, I'm fine, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because it's like, you usually want to, I think he was like trying, he was just thinking he already had energy attached, and was like, I'm an incense for the Palkia. Irida for another like intel line into my hand and the bucket, so it's just like secure.
Yeah,
but then he couldn't attack me.
So all the momentum goes to your side at that point, right? Like, he did nothing on that turn.
Yeah, like if he did not misplay there, the game was going to come down to Roxanne-ing him. And if he did not set up his board state correctly, like if his board state was like weird, or if he just missed off of the Roxanne, I was going to win. But like, you never know when those situations are, like, how it's going to play out.
Yeah, it's impossible, right? You've drawn out of Roxanne and you've bricked off of Roxanne.
Mm-hmm. But all the, like, momentum went to my side because he did not... Because he also cross-Richard me. Like, so he was, like, going all in on this, like, knockout play on my, like, Palkia, like, turn two.
Yeah, that's a lot of resources.
Yeah, and then he just passed.
Okay, so you're feeling good, right?
Yeah, so then I Leon knockout is active, and then he has to reset his entire board state up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then he almost did come back with like a weird tech card that I did not think he was going to play, because I had the math set up perfectly, because I already used Palpat, I already used Leon. My belt, I think, was already gone. So like, I hit something with the Inteleon for like 120.
Yeah.
And I put 20 on the Palkia.
Makes sense.
And then, from what I remember, our benches were both full. So I was like, I should be able to knock out this active, and if I need Zigzagoons, I can Zigzagoon and knock it out. Like, I'm fine. Like, this matchup, like, off this Roxanne, like, I should be fine. This game looks like it's in my, like, favor. I don't think I'm going to lose. Like, I need just anything. I need a basic, or I need Zigzagoon, and I can just wipe this Palkia and call it a day. And I Roxanne me, and I get an Incense, and I'm like, okay, we're golden. Like, we're not losing this game. And then he goes, Collapse Stadium.
What?
And I'm done with all my, like, stadiums. All of my are gone.
It's game three. So, like, why would you play around Collapse Stadium in Palkia?
I did not see a collapse the entire game one or game two. And he drops a collapse on me. Gets rid of his Crobat off the bench, which is, like, my other out because I'm at two prizes. And I'm like, or I could just boss up this Crobat, call it a game.
Yeah.
Like, I think I got this. Like, I can knock out the active, or I can just go boss game. Like, there's multiple outs I can do here to win this game. He goes, Collapse AM, discard the Crobat, and then I have to discard another basic as well before he comes up and knocks me out. And I'm like, okay, so I can't respond to this Palkia knockout.
Yikes, so I'm going to have to
run him back. And then I was just sitting there like, he's at two prizes now. I'm at two prizes now. If he plays, like, Leon with that belt on active, I think he can get there.
Oh, no. And that feels bad. Gosh, Collapse is, I don't know if it's a good mirror tech, but it's like Collapse plus Knockout is minus 60 damage from your side. That's so good.
Yeah, and he wiped his Crobat off the board, which was like when he put down Crobat turn two, like two or something after he did the Melanie thing and, like, missed it, he, like, went all in for his board. Crobat tried to, like, set up maximum.
Yeah.
And I was like, this Crobat's gonna, like, I'm gonna kill this at the end of the game. Like, I'm gonna set this game up to just knock out this Crobat and win the game. And then he was like, collapse. And I was
like, all right, so we were praying with Roxanne now.
I was like, no shot. He just put a collapse down. Like, what just happened?
Oof. Outplayed.
I almost got outplayed and I went it into collapse. and then I have to Roxanne him and hope, but, like, I don't know what his list entirely looks like. I hadn't seen a Leon yet, but he did have Choice Belt. And it full bench, we are swinging 220. And I did have to put down another Sobble, so I had an out to win the game. Because I had to evolve Shady Dealings. And I was out of net, I believe. So I was like, I have to put down Sobble, so I have another out off this Roxanne, so I can boss it up if he retreats into the other. So I'm like, if he retreats into the Shady Dealings and attaches to it, he can do 120 and 20, and then he can go boss, like, knockout on the next turn, if that's the way that he plays it. So I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I can't play this game where it's like, I just don't attack him, or I can't play this game where it's like, I can't Roxanne him. Like, I have to Roxanne him this turn, but I have to put down another out, so I have boss if he retreats into it and just attacks me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, cool, so I have to Roxanne him here. I need him to miss, because I don't remember if he played Leon, but I did not see it. But, like, I did not want to take any chances. I was like, if he just goes Leon here, he wins the game.
Oh, yeah, so, no, like, which is correct, right? Like, even if you don't know it's there, you didn't know Collapsed was there. And surprise.
Yeah. And I was already down Jammer. So I was like, Roxanne to two. And let's just hope that he does not evolve this Drizzile and goes Leon game. Like, yeah. That would be very bad. So then I was like, that was, like, one of the biggest, like, moments, too. I was like, if I don't put down Sobble here, I will have to raw draw my last boss.
For just to top deck game. It. It's fine.
Yeah, so I was like, that was, like, one of the biggest decisions of the game. It was like, do I not drop Sobble here and get myself a boss out? But if I do drop Sobble here, he will have a Leon knockout if he does have it. But if I don't drop it and I don't get boss, he physically can just win next turn with another out.
Yeah. So I think it sounds like the correct play, right? Like,
so, like, I'm like, we're just going to put down Sobble and let's just hope he does not play Leon or get it. And then I go Roxanne, he misses it. He just retreats and goes Aqua Bullet. And then, like, I evolve and go boss game.
Nice. Perfectly played around the exact play that you saw coming.
Yeah.
You love to be rewarded.
Yeah.
And then you're in the cut. You are, I don't know, what are you, 8 or 9 at this point?
9.
Okay, so you are the benefactor of the new asymmetrical cut rule.
I would have not made it if it was just 9. I would have went 6-1-1 at Worlds and not made top cut. It would have been tragic.
Yeah, this is a success story. No matter what happened in the top cut, like, you got to play top cut, which is so massive.
Yeah.
So now you get to play Saturday.
Yeah.
How do you sleep this night?
Not very great.
So after day one to day two, you're out like a light. You're good to go. But day two in a top cut, a little harder, a little more nervous, or?
Yeah, the nerves were definitely there because I was like, this is like the Winnedin. I did not want to be on the Winnedin game, but I knew my resistance was not amazing because I started off 0-1 and then tied like my third or fourth game or something.
Yeah, it's
so, like, I knew my resistance was not great. So like, I was like, most of the people I beat, like, after 2-1-1, none of them were making it into top cut or like 32 or like anything. I think only one person I played made 32 after.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's a tough record to get any points from, let alone or any finish from.
Yeah.
You know the matchup, correct, at this point?
Yeah, I knew he was playing Mirror Match. I knew it was Palkia. I just did not know the exact list and exact text that he was playing because most of the people that I knew did not know who he was. So it just did not work out for me that way.
So there was no preparation the night before of like figuring anything out or watching a stream game, because I assume they were never on stream.
Awesome. It was just get ready to play.
So you show up to the venue, a mediocre night's sleep. All you know is Palkia Mirror Match. You don't know if Leon quick shooting, rare candy, any of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
How are you feeling on the big stage? They get you mic'd up, ready to go, change to a Pokemon shirt, I assume, all that good stuff. Yeah. What's going through your head?
I was like, this is like basically like almost a $3,000 money match. Like,
oh, that's what's going through your head? Oh no.
Yes. I was like, this is like a $3,000 money match at this point, so we're gonna have to try to win this.
That's not what I was hoping you were gonna say. That sounds stressful as heck.
Yeah, no, I was very stressed going into it because like my last two worlds I was at, I lost in top 8 of both of them. So I was like, we're just gonna have to get through this, and then we're gonna have to get through another one.
Yeah, that's tough. You're like, all right, I have four best of ones to get through if I'm gonna win this thing.
Yeah. And top 8, we're looking at the Jolteon Arceus deck.
So it's not even looking ahead, you're like, this is gonna be a rough one.
Yeah. So, and then like game one, I was just like, I am drawing so poorly. Like, this is not how I wanted to draw in the first game.
I was watching in the airport waiting for my flight back, so skip the open, right? And it hurt. It literally was hurt to watch. I can only imagine what it felt like to play.
Oh, it was dreadful. I was sitting there like, I'm looking at my opening hand and I'm like, I'm going to have to Manaphy attack. Like, Manaphy is the only thing I got going here. Like, I won the coin flip. I was like, going first, Palkia Mirror, this should be good. And then I like flipped over and I was like, this hand is really bad. Like, really, really bad.
Do you draw all seven cards at once, or you like lay them out face down and look at all seven? Like, how are you drawing one at a time? Okay.
So I looked at all and I was just like, this is not a good hit.
That's I do the exact same thing. And it's that extra surprise of like, you see all seven, you're like, I've got this. No, I don't. No, I don't.
I see my opening hand and I was like, there's only one way I can win this game, and it's dependent on how he plays this game.
So, and like, what happened through the game? Like, what's happening as we're, besides the Manaphy? Because I think it turned out the way you thought it was going to turn out.
I knew that my only shot was this, and I knew that that was my only shot since like turn two. So I was like, we're just not going to put a Palkia down. We're just going to set up, keep calling, and we're going to make him kill a one prizer. And then after he kills another one prizer, we're going to go Palkia, and then we're going to go Roxanne.
So you're already planning, like, KO one of these Sobbles. I'm going to bench two Palkias. You're going to KO one of them. And I'm going to rock
and knock out the active.
Nice. And
he did mess up the plan a little bit, because instead of going for the Palkia, I think he did go for the cross switcher double play.
Yep.
Which I was like, Did not know you play Cologne. That's cool to know.
That's a really important deck card.
Yeah.
So they went through that place. Still letting you Roxanne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after Roxanne still.
But how did the rest of the game kind of play out? For anyone who hasn't seen it, if you have seen it, you should go watch it. It is very good.
From that point, I think I needed to Melanie the active because I didn't have Roxanne raw, and then I needed to set up my bench, restate it again.
Yeah.
I think I knocked out the ninja. Then he swung into me. I Roxanne, knocked out the active. With the other Palkia after retreating out as the other one.
Yeah.
And then I went Leon knockout onto the active after he missed.
Which is huge, because at this point, like, you get the Roxanne first, and you tie up the game, essentially. Like, yeah, you have a damaged Palkia on the bench, but, like, that still feels really good.
Yeah, I think I needed to retreat it in that scenario, from what I remember, because he could have Manaphy knocked me out with Rage Splash.
That would feel really bad, though. That's like, oh, you're going to put a single prizer in the active and take two prizes? Like, I'm screwed.
I think there was 10 damage left on my Palkia to lose a game. And I needed to knock out the other Palkia, so I needed him to miss again another turn off the Roxanne. That Roxanne did not treat him well.
No, it did not. That's why you play the card, right? That's the plan. Like, I need to buy a turn or maybe two or maybe three.
Yeah, so I had to retreat out of that Palkia into the other Palkia so he couldn't Rain Splash me. And then I had to knock out it with the Leon. And then the next turn, I had to go Horn Cross Witcher game. And that's just the way it played out. So Easy. Thankfully, that's the way it played out.
Going into game two, you're up 1-0 on your, what is it, play-in game? I think it's called a play-in game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're up 1-0 in the play-in game.
Yeah, game two. I think I had another just terrible, awful start. I put down one Palkia, and he just Crosswitcher killed it up turn two. He had, like, an insane turn two. Like, I could have done the same strat, but then I was like, he did not put an energy down. He's going to have to Crosswitcher. He's going to have to Palkia. He's going to have to get another energy down or in the discard, and he got all of it. And I was like, okay, you got me.
It was a nutty turn. I remember that one. It was like, all right, you need this whole combo, and
he got the whole combo. Yep. Like, I was like, okay. And then I put down two more Palkias or something, and then he was just like, boss or Crosswitcher, one of the Palkias. I was like, okay, this is game three. Like, I'm not coming back from that. Because he had, like, a Palkia set up on bench, Palkia set up on board, and, like, I was just like, lone Palkia, like, forget, like, I'm going to have to make this one Palkia kill your entire board. Like, it's not how this game is going to play out.
No, it's a very smart play, too, because you ended up still going to time somehow in a 75-minute round.
Yeah, because game one was just dreadful. It took so long.
Yeah, making a down by three prize comeback is...
I know, down by four.
Even longer four. Than... Oh, no.
I think you took four before I took any.
All right, that's a long game right there. And then game three, you're 1-1. You get to choose, though. Wait, yeah, you get to choose. You're going first.
Mm-hmm.
How'd it go? How are you feeling?
I remember that I did not set up great again, which was not amazing. Like, I had a decent start. Like, it was the best out of the three starts, but it was not the start I was looking for. Like, I think it was like Sobble, Ninja, Palkia, which is... It's a good, it's a decent start. Like, it's not terrible, but, like, you definitely want another Sobble down, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Manaphy, something. Like, if you start VIP pass, if you start, like, quick balls, ultra balls, something like that. But from what I remember, he ninja'd me. I Crosswitcher killed his Palkia turn two. I was hoping that he did not get down, like, an optimal board state, but he started double VIP pass, which is great.
That feels bad.
Yeah, I was contemplating killing the Greninja on the active spot. I probably should have killed the Greninja to get rid of his, like... I should have probably killed the Greninja to get rid of his play for the Ninja me, because my board state was very lackluster. Mm-hmm. But, like, I did have a raw Melanie in hand, and I did have a raw energy in hand and another Palkia V-Star. So I was like, maybe I'm okay with him killing it, because like if he kills it, I do have Melanie to set up another Palkia, and as long as I draw like another Sobble Hall, like a quick ball, which I have four of in deck or something, and or a level ball, anything, Kasuyan heavy ball gets me the other Sobble. Like if I draw anything here, like I feel like I'm remotely in the game. Like if I can draw one Sobble, I feel fine.
Yeah.
So like I felt like it was an okay play given my hand, because I knew he wasn't going to Marnie me, because I didn't see any Marnies the entire game other than like a Roxanne.
Mm-hmm.
But like I knew that I wasn't going to get Marnie, so I knew my hand was going to stay the way it was. Something I do regret is benching the second Sobble, though. I should have probably held the second Sobble in hand, knowing that he had no way to alter it and that he was going to ninja me, because I knew he was going to ninja me that play.
Mm-hmm.
But like I thought that putting down both Sobbles was going to make him want to do it more desperately, because he feels like it's like affecting my board state so drastically. But knowing that I'm going to draw four cards off Melanie, and like the likelihood of me drawing like one out is probably pretty likely, like I don't play any dead cards, like three VIP passes, so like almost every card in my deck is an out.
Yeah,
especially with ninja. But I did have ninja down as well, so I was like, he's gonna have to path here, he's gonna have to cross switcher, he's gonna have to knock out both of these here to strand me. But like I was hoping he did not path there as well, because then like I was like, I'm gonna just have to draw one Sobble off of a Melanie, a Greninja, and draw for turn. So I'm drawing six, and I literally just need to draw one Sobble, and I'm in this game, and I'm probably gonna win.
Yeah, especially when you consider, like you said, Heavy Ball is also an out.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of outs there.
I felt like a lot of outs were in deck, and like drawing six, because I was looking at it with the Greninja, because I know he plays one path, but I didn't think he was gonna go path there, given that he didn't. He wants that you'd probably keep his Greninja online.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I was like, he probably does not put down path here. He probably holds it, so I probably have a draw of six. Even if he does put down path, I'm drawing four, and I just need to draw one out to a Pokemon, mm-hmm. which is not very drastic for my deck.
No, not at all. And then it turns out...
I did not.
Yeah.
He put down path, I Melanied, and I did not draw any out to anything, which was not great.
Do you think, so you said, like, looking back, I wouldn't have benched the second Sobble. Is that purely because you missed? Like, now that you know you're going to miss, but if you don't know you're going to miss, you shuffle your deck to draw differently, would you bench the second Sobble? Is that only a misplay because you know what happened?
Well, I think that I would rather have the 90-90 on both Sobbles if I'm going to draw out of it, but I would rather not have the 90-90 on a Palkia and a Sobble. But if I know I'm going to draw a Sobble, you can kill two. It doesn't matter. I have Rod. Like, it's fine.
Okay. So you feel like it was still a fine play in theory, right? If you go back and randomize everything, you're like, benching both Sobbles is fine.
Yeah, because I thought the likelihood of me drawing a Sobble off of that or a playable card, like, even if I don't draw a Sobble there, if I Melanie into an Irida, anything, I think I'm fine. Like, I'm not in a terrible spot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I'm in a bad spot as long as I draw anything.
That's also true. And you don't even have to get the Sobble. If you Melanie into what you would have Shady Dealings for, Irida, you're fine.
And I have three Irida in there. Probably, I think I had four Quick Ball, two level. Like, I had a lot of outs. So I was like, I don't think I'm in a bad spot right now.
And unfortunately, and the card game's got...
Draw Sobble.
Yeah, it hurts. Because like you said, it sounds like the correct play. It sounds like I have so many outs in the deck to draw off of. They play no hand disruption until I have, you know, Roxanne, right?
Yeah.
Should be good.
And I know I already have Melanie in hand. Like, I know I have Ninja down. Like, he's going to have to path here, his one path, get it out the game. I could just draw court. I could draw Quick Ball. I could draw, like, there's a multitude of cards that are fine for helping me.
It's so unfortunate. But.
And I just did not draw anything. And then I still was in the game. Like, I just was like, I just need him to Roxanne me into a playable card. And then that's just not what happened. I was like, for me to lose this game in the standpoint I'm in right now, I'm going to need to miss off of a Melanie. He's going to have to put down a path. I have to miss every out for this turn and next turn to do anything or set up my bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to get Roxanne into Oblivion.
That hurts. Like, that's so many things. And unfortunately, they all kind of... Yep, they that happened, have. That happened. Yeah. But you still had an amazing finish.
Yeah, and then at the end of the game, it came down to, I did top deck an Irida, like, the last turn where I needed it, but if I would have drew it last turn, it was just game over.
Yeah.
But, like, I drew it the turn like before, and then I'm in my head and I'm like, do I grab Rod or do I grab level ball? Because if he level ball, if I grab Rod and I shuffle back in Palkia's, he can't cross switcher me and horn me. But then if I grab only one Sobble, I know he has only played two cross switchers. So if he goes cross switcher boss on the Sobble, I just lose because I have no out. And he's just going to go boss on the ninja next turn.
Ooh, that's a tough situation of like, neither play feels good, right?
Yeah, both plays feel pretty bad. But like, I guess in theory, if I do, I don't know. Because he does need cross switcher that turn or boss. Or he needs cross switcher horn.
Yeah, which are both like...
Or boss horn.
And I guess it depends how many... I don't remember the exact board state, but like how many shady dealings does he have access to? Or does he have access to Greninja? How many energies does he have left to even be able to Greninja? You know, like there's like so many question marks of like, which is the more likely play?
One Inteleon that was already evolved, which was his only one he played from what I remember. He had one Drizzle on bench and one Sobble. So I was thinking in theory, he only had one Drizzle out. Mm-hmm. So he would need to have one raw piece combo with another piece combo, or he would need an Irida for cross switcher, have cross switcher in hand. He would just need a combo.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it sounds like that did happen.
Yeah. So I could have rotted and I could have put two back in and then been on top deck boss mode.
That still feels so bad.
But I thought the likelihood of him having boss was like, for cross switcher was probably pretty high. Like, if him having one out was like, probably high, like there's no shot he probably misses like one of them.
Yeah,
but like for him to have boss, cross switcher or horn, he would need at least two pieces to the out. So I'm like, if I put down two Sobbles and he only somehow has boss in hand right here, I do win the game. But like, or a cross switcher in hand, I do win the game. But if he does not and I go ordinary Rod and he just goes boss, like I feel like there's no shot in like an 8 card hand he did not have one boss.
I think that's a good guess, right? Like, it feels so likely. So you end up top 9, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible, right? You made top cut at Worlds after a 103 start, after grinding through day 1. Both of those are ridiculously difficult.
I have
one important question that everyone is going to be asking. And some people might already know the answer if they follow you on Twitter, which you should. But did you get the top 8 Champions Festival and Matt, or did they give you the top 16 stuff?
They gave me the 16 stuff.
Oh no. Such a scam.
Yeah.
Bro, they make you play all that just to give you the top 16? Nah.
Yeah, and it's open too.
That sucks. I mean, top 16 of Worlds is incredible, right? Like, you made top cut, you made top 16. Don't want to downplay that at all. I was eliminated by the lunch break day 1. I can't downplay that.
I was like, almost there with you. Don't worry.
Oh, I remember starting the, That's where I was like, bro, you're going to hit an auto loss and just be bodied or something like that. I'm super happy you didn't.
Dude, I was so, like, once it was like 102, I was like, this is not going my way. This is not my tournament.
It's like this ain't it. I got next year. We'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You still got next year, to be fair. I wouldn't count you out for 2023 Worlds.
Whoa.
Yeah, as a quick before we kind of close this out, are you going for day 2 next year, or are you happy doing the day 1 grind?
Yeah, I was in a weird situation from this season because day 1 wise, I was going into the second half of the season, I think, with like 120 points before, or like maybe 180, something around that range.
Not very good. Into, yeah.
Yeah. Going into like the second half of the season or whatever because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So I was starting off with like 180 points. I was like day 2, like I'm looking at all these like age up seniors, all these like masters with like 1,000 points and stuff like that. I'm like,
oh gosh,
I don't know. It's going to be very rough to reach that.
I was like 530 or whatever, like going into the COVID thing. And people are like, yo, you should push for day 2. And then you look at the seniors that aged up and it's like, bro, like 8 people have 1,000 CP that just got added. Like day 2 is miserable right now.
They did add it to 32, but like there was a lot of points being like around.
There was a lot, not even counting the masters, right? But like the amount of seniors who aged up kind of fixed that. So top 32 was still top 16.
Yeah, in a nutshell. So especially with the seniors having like 1,800 points and stuff like that.
Right, it's like I can't compete with that. Like that's maybe if I got to play in seniors, I'd be able to compete with that, but not here.
Yeah.
Are you going to go for Yokohama?
Yeah.
Let's go. So you're doing Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I will be rooting for you for sure for Baltimore.
Yeah, I will be at most regionals. Like, I try to stay under, like, the $400 limit, like, $450, like, around that range. Like, I'm okay with, like, $300 probably max. But, yeah. Like, $450, $500, like, when you start reaching, like, $600 flights, like, it does not look good.
Which is rough for us out of SeaTac, out of Seattle, is,
Yeah.
There's a lot of regionals, like, freaking NAIC. It's always so expensive.
Pricey. I think from this year, I went to Milwaukee and just stayed. It was just like, I'm just going to stay here. It was cheaper for me just to stay instead of coming back because the flight was horrendous.
That's actually, we can't do that anymore, right? Because they moved Milwaukee forward, but that's definitely the move is just take a train or whatever from Milwaukee to Ohio instead of flying into Columbus. So before we close this one out, shout outs that you have, people you want to thank, etc. The floor is yours.
Oh yeah. Shout out to the Shuffle Squad. That's my team. With people like Zach, Lesage, Gabe Smart, PJ, Lindsay, there's a bunch of us. Alex is also on the team. Josh is on the team.
We have inadvertently had many members of the Shuffle Squad on the podcast. So shout out to them.
Yeah. We got LDF. We got plenty of people in the gang, a lot of Shuffle Squad members right now.
And y'all just made a Patreon page, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, what are you contributing to that Patreon? I'm curious.
I write articles. I wrote an article about my Palkia list and like some of the interactions, but that's all I've done so far. But I'm going to write some more articles about different things, like different decks, different like decisions, choices to do with the deck.
And I'll say, as someone who gets to talk to Cal all the time between our Friday locals, we were on the team challenge together before I threw it.
Yeah.
Still salty about that. The man has a great mind for Pokemon. So even though you're not a content creator, the content you put out is going to be amazing for sure. So be sure to check out that Patreon. In addition to everyone else that you already mentioned who are amazing players.
Yeah.
Other shout outs.
The Shuffle's got some good players for sure.
Oh, yeah. Myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at @Mellow_Magikarp. I'll have a link down below to Cal's Twitter as well as mine in the description box on YouTube or your podcasting platform. And I would say catch you all next week, but we're actually going to have a second episode coming out this week very soon with another Shuffle Squad member. So look for that in your podcast feed coming up soon, and we will catch you all in a couple of days. Peace out.
I think I know who it is.